Welcome to Modern Digital Applications, a podcast for corporate decision makers and executives looking to create or extend their digital business with the help of modern applications, processes, and software strategy. Now, welcome your host, a recognized industry thought leader in cloud computing and published author, bringing over 30 years of experience, Lee Acheson.
Amazon Web Services provides a cloud certification program to encourage and enable growing your AWS cloud technical skills in order to help you grow your career and your business. Have you ever wondered what it takes to become AWS certified? In this episode, I conclude my two-part interview with Kevin Downs, a trial by fire expert on the AWS certification program. Listen in while we discuss the AWS cloud certification program and how to best utilize it. Kevin will give you suggestions on how to study, take, and pass the exams that give you the AWS certifications. And then, what really was the first AWS service? This is the conclusion of AWS certifications on modern digital applications.
And now our main story on modern digital applications.
Kevin Downs is a solution strategy director at New Relic. Kevin has deep knowledge on the AWS certifications program and personally holds many certifications. I had a chance to talk to Kevin about AWS and specifically the AWS certification program. What follows is part two of that interview with Kevin.
Years ago, I think 3 or 4 years ago, I took some time and worked on my professional level solutions architect exam and passed that one as well. And that was a pretty cool time.
So there's people that are going to be listening, developers, IT ops people who are probably either starting their way, their journey along the certification process or are considering doing it. Now, obviously, they'll want to start with associate level, but why don't you talk a little bit about what the difference is between, you know, an associate level and a professional level and what's involved in each of those?
So let's take these one at a time. So that solutions architect certification is a broad knowledge-based certification based on a whole bunch of different AWS solutions that they have out there. And you'd want to be pretty broad. You don't have to go too deep, but it helps you out there. And it's going to take you about 120 hours versus practicing, self-testing, you know, really diving into the guts of what AWS has to understand exactly what you need to know for that one. So moving up to the next one, the developer, if you are a pure developer and that's all you're doing and that's your day job and that's all you care about, you could start with the developer certification because it really goes into a lot of the things that developers in AWS care about: code pipeline, code deploy, DynamoDB, a lot of the things that developers use and consume on a daily basis. That's a great certification. The next one, and at the time, this was considered to be the hardest certification of the three associates, was a SysOp administrator's certification. This was kind of a combination of the two before it. It gave a more deeper dive into things like CloudFormation, CloudWatch, things that a system administrator would care about, but it also dealt with some of the technologies and services that a developer would care about. So it was a really good, deeper level test than the other two were. Now, those are the three associate level certifications. Let's move into the professional ones. They are far and wide a lot harder than the associate level one. If it takes you about 120 hours to do the associate solutions architect one, you're looking at about double, maybe triple that to really get into the professional level. There's a lot more theory going on. There's a lot more bigger picture, scenario-based questions and answers that really need to take a lot of time to get into and unpack. And you're going to want to know your stuff across the board at a very deep level when you take on those professional level certifications. Now, there are two professional level ones. There's the DevOps engineer, which would cover everything that the developer and SysOp administrators cover, but in a much deeper, a much more theory-based format. And then the solution architects professional one, that is going to go, you know, a lot deeper than the associate level one of the same name. And you're really going to need, you know, a broad level of detail and be deep in it to understand how to answer those questions, because they get pretty technical and you're going to need a lot of cloud-based theory to understand how to go about answering those questions.
So you you talked about 120 hours for an associate level study time and about two or three times that for the professional. So you're talking about in the order of, 9-10 weeks or so of study here just to pass one of those tests. Is that about right?
That is correct. But if you look at the guides that these exams give you, they really want you to have, a year or two, at least a year for the associate level ones. And they're going to want you to have 2 or 3 years for the professional level certifications. So even though you may not be actively studying for one, during the time that you're learning and using AWS, you're going to get a lot of knowledge and a lot of on-the-job expertise, whether you're just playing with it or whether you're doing it for your current job.
So for the professional, let's start with the developer person for a second. Someone who's a current developer in the industry, they've used the cloud a little bit. Their company's starting to use the cloud, and they know that AWS is going to be a significant part of their job in the next year or 2 or 3 years as time goes on. What should they do?
If there's someone who's been a developer and they're currently using AWS, I'd go right into studying. I go right into what the exam covers. I'd take an A-Cloud Guru, course, or take some other courses that are out there. You can get a lot for free, or you can take one of the paid courses that are out there. You can pass some of those practice exams that are included in those courses, and it'll give you a good understanding of what your current level of knowledge is. And if you find yourself doing good, you can pretty much sit that exam for the associate one and go right in there. You just want to make sure you aren't missing any of the skills that the exam guy tells you that's going to be in there. Now, for the DevOps professional one, this is going to be pretty significant. You're going to need a lot of knowledge, not only on the developer side of things that you're looking at, but also on the system administrator side. Remember, this DevOps engineer exam is covering both the SysOp administrator and the developer exams. So it covers a lot of territory, and you're really going to need to know your stuff. You're going to need to know a lot of administrator topics that are covered in the SysOps administrator, and obviously a lot of developer topics that are covered in the developer one. So that professional level exam is going to be a beast of an exam. It is a good exam that covers a lot of DevOps technologies.
Let's talk about a traditional IT ops person. And, to them, in some respects, some of them even fear the cloud, right? Because their job is managing their on-site infrastructure and moving to the cloud, their job's going to change much more dramatically than a developer's job is, presumably. At least that's their fear. So what about them? What should they do to grow their career into this new cloud-based world?
Now, this actually sits very well with me because I consider myself the ops side in the DevOps world, very much a traditional operations person, someone who manages the servers, puts them together, is a traditional architecture person who gets these things ready for the developers. So the path that I coach operators on is a fairly significant path. It definitely starts with the associate level certifications, and you're going to want to tackle them in an order. And I do have a very prescriptive order that an operations person would want to go through, and that is the solutions architect first one. That's the one that's going to cover the nice wide breadth. Once you've tackled that one, I do recommend that you take the developer one. The reason is you may not be a developer. You may not go out there and code, but you're definitely going to be putting architecture and services together that developers are going to consume, and you need to understand what their world is like. And understanding the developer topics will give you that perspective of what their world is, how you can support it, and how you can best anticipate their needs. So after you've taken those two, then you're going to move on to the SysOps administrator, where you're really going to show that you've put everything together. You can go much deeper. You can get those CloudFormation scripts going. You can get into CloudWatch. You can really be the administrator that you need to be at the associate level. Each one of these exams kind of builds on the last one. So the stuff you learn in the associates is going to build for your professional ones. And everything that you're going to learn is going to build up to that last exam, that professional level exam for systems administrator. That is absolutely the deepest, biggest test AWS offers, and you're going to want to have a lot of knowledge behind it. Now, I just went through 5 exams, and if you take any of the specialty ones, there's a couple of those. don't think you're going to want to do this in, you know, 2, 3, 6, 8 months. You're going to want to do this over the course of, you know, a year or two. What'll happen is you're going to get into the zone. You're going to start studying. You're going to start passing an exam. You're going to go, wow, that wasn't so bad. I could definitely tackle the next one. Shouldn't take me that long. I might add, you know, another week or two of practice, and then I can, you know, sit it right away. And I'll have two exams in the course of about 3 weeks. Really simple to do. In fact, you might want to even chain these up and get two or three done in the course of a month or two. The problem isn't today, but from experience, I will say that 2, 3 years down the line, where you're going to have to recertify in these exams. So let's say you've passed these, you know, three certifications and you, you know, you have a great job. You know, maybe you're a little younger. Now you have a family and, you know, you have kids to worry about and work with. And 3 years down the line, you're going to find yourself in a situation that you're going to have to restudy to recertify all these. And you may not have the time than you had 3 years ago. So I highly recommend 2 to 3 months between each of the associate level exams and about 3 to 6 months between any of those and a professional level exam. Give it to yourself so that in 3 years down the line or four or whenever you pass these, you have time to study for the recertification, because you're going to want to continually prove that you know your stuff and continually prove that you definitely are someone that needs to be hired for a cloud level expertise that you now have.
So these exams are all great, but how do you actually go about, you know, taking these exams, and how would you coach someone in how they would go about actually preparing and actually taking these exams?
So there's a couple things that I coach people on and mentor people through. If you're a absolutely horrible test taker, this is going to be difficult because these are not easy exams. You have time-based formats. You can now take these exams remotely. They've now allowed that. But you're going to find yourself in a time crunch. You're going to find that you're rereading questions over again or answers over again. So I coach people that go through the top of the question, read it all the way through, and then read the answers. Some people coach that you should read the answers first. I don't agree with that. You don't have enough time to reread things, because you will find yourself rereading the answers a second time after you've read the question. So I coach people, read the question, read the answers, and from your gut, answer it. If you have a little bit of a question, mark it, move on. You'll find yourself learning more through the exam, and you know what? You're actually going to be able to go back when you finish it all and go through those marked questions and get some more knowledge that you didn't have before. But even before you sit the exam, I have a very prescriptive set of steps that I coach people to do. AWS offers a practice exam. It costs a little bit of money, not too much, about $20, I think. And I highly recommend that, you know, a week before the exam that you have scheduled, take that practice exam. Look at the results. It won't tell you everything that you've done, but it'll give you the ability to understand where you're, you know, where you're needing more study time. Then you take that question and you take the answers and you go research. You look at all the documentation. You look at all the white papers. You play with it. You actually set these things up. You figure out if you answered it correctly or incorrectly. And as you go through your study time on that practice exam, write down the answers that it should have been, or marking the ones that you think you got correct. And then about a day or two before you sit the exam, take it again. Answer it the way you now believe it should be. You'll find yourself improving your score dramatically. And if you're sitting at an 80% plus or even a 75% plus exam score, you can pretty much guarantee you're going to pass the exam. You'll know that because these practice exam questions are actually harder than the ones on the test.
Now, we've talked a lot about practitioners here. What about managers? Should managers take certifications? Are these really just for practitioners?
There's another exam that we haven't even touched on today. It's called the Certified Cloud Practitioner Exam. Now, I coach a lot of people on this one. This is something that you would take if you know nothing about the cloud or if you've just started to look at it. I would consider this a non-technical exam. So sales managers who deal with customers who are in the cloud, even if they're not the customers you're using are not using AWS, you'll still get the understanding of what cloud services are. So if you're looking for, you know, a content delivery network, and your customer needs that, you understand that a CDN in AWS world is CloudFront. So you're going to understand these concepts. I highly recommend this Certified Cloud Practitioner exam for salespeople, for non-technical people who want to understand and comprehend the cloud world. It's an absolutely great exam. I did take it. I did pass it. And some people may laugh at me for passing it, but I use a lot of the experience that I did to coach people who are in non-technical roles, marketing, sales, back-end support, people who want something to prove that they have some knowledge that they can converse with on a cloud level with their customers.
Okay, Kevin, let's end with, why don't you tell me in your mind, what is the number one most important thing that you want to share with the listeners about your experiences with the cloud and what you want to make sure they understand about the things you have learned about the cloud?
That's a really good question. Thank you. I would say don't be scared of it. It becomes fun. As you mentioned earlier, it's kind of like a toy. You get to play with it. Spinning up an instance and doing things with it, creating a website, spinning it back down, understanding how to do auto scaling, understanding how to use databases, NoSQL. All of these things really, really, really are fun. And when you start playing with the cloud services, you realize it's not scary at all. And you can quickly build enterprise scaled architecture that grows up and down as needed very, very simply. And it doesn't take that long. It doesn't take a lot of knowledge, but it's fun. Start looking into getting trained. Start looking at expanding your certifications. A lot of people look at certifications as kind of a barrier to a position. If you're looking to be an operations person, certifications in the cloud are absolutely required. If you're a developer that can prove that you have certifications as that developer in AWS or in the other cloud vendors, it is that much easier to get that job. So number one, it's not scary. Once you realize it's not scary, get yourself some certifications so you can prove that you have your knowledge.
Kevin, I want to thank you very much for your time today. And Kevin is the Solution Strategy Director at New Relic. Kevin, thank you so much and have a great day.
Thank you very much, Lee. It was a pleasure. Appreciate it.
I'd like to thank Kevin for his involvement in this interview. If you're interested in reaching out to Kevin, you can find his LinkedIn contact information in the show notes.
This is Tech Tappers, little bits of tech here on Modern Digital Applications.
What was the first cloud service that Amazon put out as part of Amazon Web Services? The first cloud service was the Simple Queue Service. The Simple Queue Service, or SQS, is still available today. It provides a message queuing system for delivery of messages between loosely connected application components. SQS was launched publicly in November of 2004. AWS was relaunched in March of 2006 as a combination of three initial services: SQS, the S3 Object Storage Service, and the EC2 Virtual Server Service. These were all very early implementations. The EC2 instances had no persistent storage attached, so they could not be used to build persistent storage systems, such as relational databases. The services were also all exposed to the public internet, so there was no security available for any of the services. The EC2 instances were openly vulnerable on the public internet. EC2 didn't get persistent attached storage until EBS, or Elastic Block Storage, was launched in 2008. It didn't get private network security until VPC was launched in September of 2009. It was after those two capabilities were added that EC2 became a viable option for application computation, and cloud computing took off with a vengeance.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
Thank you for listening to Modern Digital Applications with Lee Acheson. Lee helps executives keep up with industry trends and best practices in cloud computing, application scaling, DevOps, and applications modernization in order to stay in front of disruptive influencers. Subscribe to this podcast to ensure you get each new episode as it's available. Visit mdacast.com for all the resources and publications from Lee and his team. Thank you for tuning in to today's show.